All right, Deuteronomy chapter 18 in your Bibles tonight. We'll get started. We are looking at the offices of Christ in this series of studies, and tonight we're going to start tonight. We looked at Christ as God, which, you know, that's sort of not an office perhaps, but it is a title that he has. We looked at him as a man, and specifically as the Son of Man. So he is the Son of Man in that he's born in Adam's race, born of a woman, born of Mary. So he is the Son of Man in that sense, but also the Son of Man is a title that relates to his ruling and reigning over the nation Israel in a physical way. So he needed to be physically the descendant coming through the nation Israel in order to rule and to reign in that nation. So thus the title Son of Man is used of him in that role in his reigning over Israel. But if you talk about the titles of Christ, you know, just the average believer, if you would say, what are three titles of Christ? Like, what are the three that you would say if I said that? Give me three titles of Christ. Prophet, priest, and king. That's kind of just the, you know, and coming up now in the holiday season especially, that's kind of, you know, he was born a prophet, priest, and king. And so we're going to look at those three, spend a week on each one. Look at Jesus Christ as a prophet, look at him as a priest, look at him as king. And one thing about those three titles, we'll do this sort of as we go through the study, but those three titles specifically are seen in the type in Moses. Moses served as a prophet, priest, and king to the nation Israel, and he was a forerunner and a type of the prophet, priest, and king that was to come. And we'll start with this verse here in Deuteronomy 18. We'll come back to it a little later on, but this is Moses prophesying of the prophet that is to come, of which he was a type and a picture. So Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him shall ye hearken. So the title given to Jesus Christ there, the title given to this one that is come, he's not named as Jesus Christ at this point, but there is a prophet that is to come, and notice Moses says, like unto me. So there'll be a prophet who will be like unto me. Moses serves in Israel as the prophet, dispensing God's word, and we'll talk about that tonight. He serves as a priest in that he interceded for the nation before God, and he served as the king in that he was the first ruler of the nation and dispensed justice and judgment in that nation. But tonight, looking at Jesus Christ as the prophet. Now, the word prophet, the Hebrew and Greek words translated prophet in your King James Bible basically have the same meaning. It's an inspired speaker, or a man that is inspired to speak. So when you talk about a prophet, you're simply talking about someone whose speech is being inspired by or controlled by even someone else. And a good illustration of that, if you go back to the book of Exodus chapter 4, and this involves Moses, but it involves Moses as the prophet of God, but then also Aaron as the prophet of Moses. And in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hitherto for nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him who thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. And I will be with his mouth, and with his, I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be unto thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. So when Moses says to the Lord, I can't speak, I'm slow of speech, so I can't be your spokesman, I can't speak on your behalf, Moses says, God says, I will give you Levi, Verse 15, thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. And that's a really good definition of what it means to be a prophet. Aaron is going to be the prophet of Moses. And then God goes on to say, I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth. So Aaron, and if you go over to chapter 7, you see this title given, chapter 7 of Exodus verse 1, and the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. So when Aaron speaks, he's speaking, Moses, I've made thee a God. So Moses, you're like God to Pharaoh, and your words are in Aaron's mouth. He is your prophet. You're like God, he's your prophet. So God puts the words in Moses' mouth. Moses is God's prophet. Moses puts the words in Aaron's mouth. Aaron becomes Moses' prophet. So in that little transaction there between God and Moses and Aaron, you just see that putting the words in someone's mouth, inspiring someone. This gets back to what we talk about when we talk about the inspiration of Scripture. You know, there's revelation, there's inspiration, those words. Revelation is the words are put in your ear. Inspiration is those words get written down. And of course, many of the words that Moses received in his ear ended up being written down on the page. So that whole process of inspiration, of putting God's word on the page, is what a prophet is doing. He's receiving that message from God, receiving that word from God. Go over to the book of Acts. So let's go to Acts. Just get a couple illustrations here of Old Testament prophets and the fact that those Old Testament prophets are receiving the words of the Lord. And as I said, it's very similar to when we study inspiration. And the words on the page are what's inspired and what's written down. Acts chapter 28 and verse number 25. And when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. After that, Paul had spoken one word. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers. So, well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet. So, the Holy Ghost is speaking, but the Holy Ghost speaks by Esaias or Isaiah, the prophet. So a prophet is one that's speaking the words that God gives him. Back in the book of Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1 and verse 16. Acts 1, 16. So Isaiah is a prophet of God because he's speaking the words of God. Acts 1, 16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. So the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake. Just what we saw back in Exodus, Moses said, I will put my words in your mouth, and you will be as to me as a mouth. In this verse, the Holy Ghost spake by the mouth of David. The Holy Ghost put his words in the mouth of David. So a prophet is just someone who is receiving the words of God in their mouth and speaking them out. Now, some of the prophets obviously write those words down. That's when you get into the process of inspiration. When the prophet receives the words and speaks them, that's revelation. When he writes those words down, that's inspiration. But go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 15. And Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 15, and get also, because we're going to go back there anyhow, get Jeremiah chapter 31. So Hebrews 10 is quoting Jeremiah 31. So let's get the two and look at how it's referenced and who gets the credit, if you will, for saying the things in the book of Hebrews, but then who it is actually that says those things back in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31. So Jeremiah 31, as I said, we're going to be back in Jeremiah anyhow a little bit here. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 15. Hebrews 10, verse number 15. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put their laws in their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. So the writer of Hebrews says, the Holy Ghost said this, and then this is the covenant that I will make with them. I'll put my law in their hearts. And notice, even the Holy Ghost is quoting somebody else. The Holy Ghost says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. So the Lord is saying it. The Holy Ghost is saying it. And if you go back to Jeremiah chapter 31, you find that who actually said it and actually wrote it down also in verse 33 of Jeremiah 31, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people. So the writer of Hebrews says the Holy Ghost said it. Jeremiah writes it down in the book of Jeremiah. So Jeremiah said it, but it's the words of the Holy Spirit. Back to the first chapter of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4. As I said, I've said this a couple times, but it certainly is true that this whole study of what it is to be a prophet is very parallel to what it is to inspire Scripture, because those prophets are receiving the words of God. You know, inspiration is just the next step, like Jeremiah took, where it gets written down, like the writer of Hebrews took, where it gets written down. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. So the Lord says, I have put my words in thy mouth. That's exactly what Moses said to Aaron. I'll put my words in your mouth, and you'll be unto me as a mouth. God says to Jeremiah, I'm going to touch you, or he doesn't just say it, he does it. The Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. He put forth his hand, touched my mouth, and put his words in my mouth. If you go over to Ezekiel, the next book over, Ezekiel has a similar experience in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3. And of course, all these things we're looking at now are true prophets. There are two kinds of prophets in Scripture. We'll get to the second kind here in a minute. These are prophets of the Lord, prophets of Jehovah. The words in their mouth are the words of the Lord. Now, there are also false prophets in Israel, and we'll get to those in a minute. But when we're looking at Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, David, these are our prophets that are prophesying the words of the Lord. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 1. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. And he said unto me, son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. So again, get you to the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. In verse 10, moreover, he said unto me, son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears. And go, get thee to them of the captivity unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. So you go speak to them, and when you go, you say, thus saith the Lord God. And of course, it's the Lord God, thus saith the Lord God, the God of Israel. That's who's speaking to him. So you go tell them, the God of Israel says this. And in a few minutes, we're going to see a verse where he refers to the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, as we've been studying on Sunday mornings, as Debbie referred to. Numbers chapter 22. Sometimes in Scripture, people prophesied contrary to what they wanted to prophesy, which pretty clearly shows that it's God that's doing the speaking, God that's saying the words, not the prophet himself. Numbers chapter 22, of course, this is Balaam and Balak and the situation with them. In Numbers chapter 22, verse 1, the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, and who's Midian? We studied Sunday. Midian is Keturah's son. Yeah, so he's not from the Isaac and Ishmael gang. He's from the other gang, but he's still a son of a son of Abraham through Abraham's wife Keturah. And you know, we talked about the Midianites and how they become such a big issue in the Old Testament. Well, here and it's hard to remember all those names, especially of the sons of Ishmael, because they're crazy names. But once you kind of put those names in your mind, and then as you read through the old, they keep, that's that guy. Oh, yeah, I remember that guy. He's this. And you see how all through the Old Testament, these children of Abraham and the descendants of the children of Abraham just keep interacting in all these different ways through the Old Testament, right up till today, in fact. So verse 4, and Moab said unto the elders of Midian, now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers before unto Balaam, the son of Beor to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. So who is that people that came out of Egypt that covered the face of the earth? Of course, that's Israel. That's the Jews. They've come out of Egypt. There are millions of them. They cover the face of the earth. Verse 6, come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure, I shall prevail that we may smite them and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessed is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. So I want you to come. There's too many of them, and we need to drive them out of the land. Have things really changed much since back here in the book of Numbers? Not really that much, right? And so Balaam knows, Balaam is known that who he blesses is blessed, and whom he curses is cursed. So Balak sends to him to curse the children of Israel so they can be driven out of the land. Down to chapter 23 and verse 5. So, you know, this narrative goes back and forth, and you get over to chapter 23 and verse 5, and Balaam is finally ready to curse the nation Israel. Verse 5 of chapter 23, and the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth, and said, return unto Balak, and thus shalt thou speak. So the Lord, Jehovah, all capitals, put a word in Balaam's mouth, and said, return unto Balak, and thus thou shalt speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, he and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his parable, and said, Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram, out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob, and come, defy Israel. So Balaam has called Balak has called Balaam to come curse Israel. Verse 7, and he took up his parable and said, verse 7, verse 8, how shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom God hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. So in essence, what happens here, well, let's go on verse 11, we'll see what happens. Balak said unto Balaam, what hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them all together. And he answered and said, must I not take heed to the speech that to speak rather that which the Lord hath put in my mouth? So Balak gets Balaam to curse the children of Israel, and Balaam ends up blessing the children of Israel. And when Balak says, wait, I'm paying you to curse the children of Israel, he says, well, I how can I not speak what the Lord hath put in my mouth? And that gets back to this idea, it's what the Lord put in his mouth. They really have no choice but to say what God puts in their mouth. Go to Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3. Amos is not one of the more well-known of the prophets, but he is a prophet, and so much so that he got his own book in the Bible, so we ought to take heed to him, I would think. Amos chapter 3 and verse 7. Amos 3 and verse 7. Surely, this is Amos 3:7, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? So if God speaks to one of his prophets, then the prophet has no choice but to prophesy. Back to Jeremiah, and we're going to pick up a couple more verses here in Jeremiah, about true prophets, but also about false prophets. Jeremiah chapter 20, and Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 7, about the prophet can only speak what the Lord gives him to speak. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 7. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. So Jeremiah starts off saying, that everyone mocks me. I was in derision because I spoke your word. So I decided I'm not gonna say this stuff anymore that God gave me to say. But then he says, it was a fire, burning fire shot up in my bones. I was weary from forbearing it. I couldn't restrain myself. I had to speak God's word. So when God spoke, the prophet spoke. Now, at times, false prophets spoke, and Jeremiah talks about that. Go over just a couple chapters to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 13. Jeremiah 23:13. I have seen the folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err. I have seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem an horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of the evildoers, and none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and like the inhabitants and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood and make them drink the water of gall. For from the prophets of Jerusalem is profaneness gone out into all the land. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not to the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They speak a vision of their own, not out of the mouth of the Lord. And that's the problem. Remember, a true prophet is speaking words that come from the mouth of the Lord. The prophet puts his words in the prophet's mouth. False prophets speak their own vision, not what they hear from the mouth of the Lord. Jump down to verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken unto them, yet they prophesied. So there are prophets that I have not sent, yet they ran to the nation to prophesy. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. Back to to Ezekiel chapter 13. Ezekiel chapter 13. So the words of the false prophets, Israel is to reject. Ezekiel 13 and verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the prophets of Israel that prophesy, and say thou unto them that prophesy out of their own hearts, hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, thy prophets are like the foxes in the deserts. So there are prophets that are foolish prophets. They follow their own spirit. They have seen nothing. So, you know, it's not always made clear in Scripture, do these prophets that are speaking their own things, do they know they're just, are they just charlatans? Or do they really think that they're speaking God's truth? That's not always clear. It just says that they have seen nothing. They're following their own spirit, and they have seen nothing. Go back to the book of Deuteronomy. So God actually has quite a bit of instruction about how to deal with these false prophets and how to identify these false prophets. And there's an interesting part of this passage in Deuteronomy that I want to talk about a little bit tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 1, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and of the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, then thou shalt not hearken to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put evil away from the midst of thee. So if a prophet arises, he might do miracles and signs and wonders. He does a sign or a wonder, and it comes to pass. But he tells you to follow another god. You don't follow that other god, and you put that prophet to death. And, verse 6, if thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely, of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare him, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he hath sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So if you listen any, and there's a lot of this going on now online, you can see lots of these discussions and debates about Islam. One of the tenets of Islam, so why does Islam want to kill all the infidels? Why do they want to kill the Jews? Why do they want to kill the Christians? Why do they want to kill all of us? Well, because we're telling them to follow a false god. So if you see a Christian scholar, for example, or a Jewish scholar debating a Muslim scholar, and they'll say, well, your religion is just, you know, you kill the people that don't agree with you. You kill the infidels. The infidels. That's your whole point. They would say, verse 5, if that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, and that prophet and that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, redeemed you out of the house of bondage, thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in, so thou shalt put the evil away from the midst of thee. What was Israel supposed to do if someone encouraged them to follow another god? Kill them. In Islam, if someone converts under Sharia law, if someone converts away from Islam to Christianity, for example, you know what the penalty for that is? Death. You kill. Why would you do that? Well, they would say that's no different, because God told, in your own Bible, God said, if your brother or your son or your daughter or your wife or your close friend that is like your own soul entices you to go serve other gods, you kill them. You stone them. How is that any different than what Islam teaches today? Not, I mean, this is the right God, obviously. This is Jehovah God. But the instruction that God gave to Israel is not that different from the instruction that Islam has today. The problem with all of that, the problem with Judaism today, with Islam today, and most of Christianity today, is that they are not rightly dividing the word of truth. If you're going to say, well, all the Bible is for me, all the, well then, okay, there it is in black and white. If your brother or your son or your daughter or your wife or your close friend entices you to go serve another god, then you kill him. And so if obviously that person has gone to serve another god, so what's the penalty for that? You kill them. So the answer to all this discussion and debate today is to rightly divide the word of truth, to understand the context in which that's given of an earthly kingdom and God establishing an earthly kingdom in a land that he gave to Israel and driving out the other gods of that land and the worship of other gods in that land to establish his people in that land. That's not what we're here to do today. And Islam, the trouble with Islam is they're still trying to do what God told Israel to do. And now they're doing it. They're opposed to Israel, but they believe that establishing a kingdom is the thing to do, a kingdom in this earth. That's the thing to do. Just what God told Israel to do. And you establish that kingdom by doing the same things that God told Israel to do to their enemies. That's exactly what Islam is doing to their enemies today. That's why they drive them out of the land. That's the whole point. That's why they want to kill the infidels that teach them to worship other gods than Allah. In fact, from their perspective, we as Christians are the worst kind of pagans because we're polytheists, because we worship three gods, not just one god. The first pillar of belief of Islam is that there is only one God, and his name is Allah. His name is Allah, and his prophet is Muhammad. That's their primary, and they view us as worshiping three gods. So it's until people understand rightly dividing the word of truth, you're going to have this problem. And of course, they're never going to understand that, so you're always going to have this problem. We've been talking about that on Sunday mornings with the descendants of Abraham. But I just thought, this verse was... it fit in with our study tonight, but those passages about what Israel is to do with people that encourage them to go follow other gods. Well, from the Islamic perspective, anybody not following Allah is following another god. And so what do you do to people like that? There it is in your own scriptures, in the Jews' own scriptures. Here's what you do with people that tell you to follow other gods. So anyhow, that's just a side note for tonight, all right? First Kings chapter 18. There is this famous battle in the Old Testament between the prophets of God and the prophets of Baal, or Baal, I guess is the proper pronunciation of it. And it is, of course, Elijah and Ahab and the prophets. And verse 17 of chapter 18 in 1 Kings. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. And now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. And of course, we're not going to read through the whole thing. We know that they both are going to offer sacrifice. And the prophets of Baal, in verse 28, they cried, start at verse 27, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking or is pursuing, or he is in a journey or peradventure. He sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering, the evening sacrifice, and there was neither voice nor any answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said to all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. So, you know, the prophets of Baal, of course, they cry and plead for their gods to send down fire and devour the sacrifice, and they don't. And you know, this great verse in verse 27 where Elijah is mocking them and saying, you know, well, maybe you need to cry louder because maybe your God is talking or he's pursuing, he's on a journey or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. So it's just pure out mockery of the gods of Baal and the prophets of Baal. And so obviously no fire comes down. Elijah now takes the mantle here and begins his discourse. Verse 31, Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, whom the word of the Lord came saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar to the name of the Lord, and he made a trench round about the altar as great as it could contain two measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, Fill four barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And he did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar and filled the trench also with water. So he takes 12 stones, and he says, You take four barrels of water and pour it on the sacrifice. And you take four barrels of water and pour it on the sacrifice three times. So how many barrels of water got put on the sacrifice? 12 barrels of water. 12 stones for the 12 tribes of Israel. 12 barrels of water for the 12 tribes of Israel. And Elijah announces then in verse 36, It came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, or Jacob, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, Jehovah, he is the God. Jehovah, he is the God. He is the God. And of course, all the prophets of Baal, Elijah's going to have them killed, just like he was told to do back in Deuteronomy. But this is probably the most famous battle between true prophets and false prophets. The prophet Elijah, a true prophet, the prophets of Baal, false prophets, and God demonstrates, I am the true prophet. Back to Deuteronomy 18 now. And this is the passage we started with. And this really, so you see this history of prophets in Israel. And then in Deuteronomy 18, there is this prophecy, verse 15. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of my brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou doest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see his great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. So Moses, you know, Israel is used to prophets, but Moses says in the law, one prophet is going to come. He'll be like unto me. God will raise him up, and you will hear him. Go to Acts chapter 3. In Acts 3, Peter is going to solidify this was the prophet of God. Acts 3 and verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of the restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. And usually we end there because, you know, okay, Peter is fulfilling things spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. But verse 22, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you and your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. The words that Jesus Christ spoke are the words of the Father. The words that Jesus Christ spoke are not his own words, but the Father's words. The words that Jesus Christ spoke didn't originate with him as a man. They originated with the Father. If you go back to John chapter 1, John chapter 1, verse 19. John chapter 1 and verse 19. This is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And notice what they asked next, verse 21. And they asked him, what then? Art thou Elias? And he said, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, no. Art thou that prophet? What prophet? Well, the one that Moses talked about. Art thou that prophet? No, I'm not any of that. I'm just the forerunner of all of that. I'm not that prophet. If you flip back to the book of Luke, chapter 24, we're right there at Luke, chapter 24, and verse number 19. And he said unto them, what things? So this is when the two see him after his resurrection, and the two see him walking on the road to Emmaus. And in verse 19, one of them, or sorry, verse 18, one of them whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? In other words, Jesus Christ, he's kind of playing dumb, like, what's going on around here? And he said, well, don't you know what's happened? Well, what has happened? Verse 19. He said unto them, what things? What things have happened? And Jesus said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. They said unto him, what things are happening? They said, well, this stuff about Jesus of Nazareth, he was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. Remember what Deuteronomy says, if someone comes and does a sign or a wonder and it comes to pass, but they tell you to follow other gods, you kill them. So Jesus Christ was not only mighty in deeds, the things he did, but in his words that he spoke. Go back to Matthew chapter 11. We'll close with this. Matthew 11 and verse 1. In Matthew 11, when John sends Matthew 11, verse 1. And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. So are you the one that will come? Are you that prophet that would come? John said, You say these things, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up. So all of those things are his deeds that he does. And the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. The poor have the gospel preached unto them. Jesus Christ is a prophet, not just because of the things he did, but because of the things he said. Because the words that the Father gave him, he spoke. And so he becomes a prophet in deeds, but also in words. And Deuteronomy says, that's what you got to be. You can't be just in deeds. You can't just do miracles, signs, and wonders. If you're a real prophet, you're going to teach Israel to follow the true God. And that's what Jesus Christ is doing. The poor have the gospel preached unto them. That gospel, the kingdom, that John the Baptist and Jesus Christ had preached, proclaiming the kingdom. So Jesus Christ comes. He is a prophet. He speaks the words of God. And he does the deeds that a prophet would do. Does anyone have a question about Jesus Christ being a prophet and what that means? Yeah, Earl.
This is Matthew here. The baptism of Jesus in Matthew 3, and then you go to Matthew 11, and he's asking if he's the one that was sent. You understand what I'm saying? He baptizes him in Matthew 3.
Right. John baptized him in Matthew 3. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, then he's asking, is he the one?
Right. Well, understand, John baptizes him. He hears the voice from heaven say, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. But then where does John end up? In prison. So if he's the king coming with the kingdom, why would... I think John's thinking, wait a minute. He's supposed to be our redeemer. He's supposed to be our deliverer. He's supposed to bring in the kingdom. Why am I in prison? Getting ready to go have my head. Literally, he had his head chopped off, and that's how his life ended. So I think he's thinking, why? I think John is trying to confirm, are you really the one, or do we look for another? Yeah, I know I'm the forerunner, and I know I'm supposed to be announcing somebody's coming, but wait, but are you really him? Because I'm here in prison. So I think it's because and John had a basic misunderstanding that a lot in Israel did, even the apostles, because they thought that the kingdom of God would immediately appear. And then Jesus Christ says, no, I got to go away to my Father and receive a kingdom and return. So I think John the Baptist and the apostles had the misconception, the kingdom is going to come. And when John ended up in prison, he's like, wait, this isn't what I signed up for. I was wanting the kingdom to come, and it didn't come. So, yeah. Anything else? Good question. Well, in Matthew 3 and 4, he seemed to clearly know who he was. But then in Matthew 11, it's like, are you sure about this? Yeah. So that's a good question. All right, let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Our God and Father, again, we do thank you for Jesus Christ and for the opportunity of gathering here tonight. We thank you that he did come to be a prophet, to speak forth your word, and that he was faithful in that message of proclaiming the Father's word. And we just pray that we too would be faithful in proclaiming God's word to a lost world. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.